Welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast. On this podcast, we interview everyday women, most of whom you've never heard, that are doing interesting things on top of being moms. Motherhood is one of those spaces women sometimes occupy that face tremendous pressure to be and do multiple things and do them well all the time. This podcast isn't here to make you feel like you need to be more than mom. It's just here to remind you that you already are more than mom. We encourage you to embrace all facets of who you are and to remind you that you are capable of so much love and compassion. So this podcast is usually hosted by Leslie, my sister-in-law, and myself, but Leslie is currently in Tanzania with the agency she works for that's called Empower Tanzania. We will link to their website in the show notes. I can't wait to hear all about our trip, but the truth is I am selfishly really missing her. So I have this new microphone that I talked about in one of our other podcasts that I got for Mother's Day. I haven't been able to use it yet, really. So I wanted to do that, and I thought, you know what? I'm gonna call her husband. I'm gonna have Jay Klipsch on the podcast today. So I'm pretty excited about it. I just was needing a little Jake and Leslie Klipsch love, and I thought we would invite Jake onto the podcast. We have talked before about how Jake and myself and my husband have went plant-based, so we'll talk a little bit about that. We will basically just let you fall in love with our husbands, the husbands of the Mama Bear Dares podcast. So, Mama Bears, will you please, for the first time, welcome male voices. Jake, you want to say hi?
Can I talk now? This is exciting. I didn't know if I was supposed to be like hooting and hollering, so this is pretty exciting stuff.
Was your shirt on purpose, by the way, that we're having a conversation about being vegan, or is it just what you wear when you're not wearing dress clothes?
This is just my night shirt.
Okay. I call them house clothes. For our listeners who obviously cannot see Jake, he's wearing a shirt that says Kale, which is so appropriate for today's podcast.
It's a play on the Yale shirt.
Right.
That's their look.
But yeah. I do love kale. That is true. I'd love to eat kale.
Doesn't everyone, do you think this is just a thing for us? You guys, growing up in your house, should we just get into the podcast? We're getting into it. We're diving right in. When you were younger, what would have happened if Frank and Terry served kale?
We would have asked where the Velveeta cheese is.
Yeah. And we would have wanted some dip. Where's the dip? No, I don't think I had kale until I was 30 something. I don't know what that would have been like, but I'm sure I would have argued about it probably.
Yeah. So we're gonna get more into that, but I do need to ask this question because neither of you are capable of lying and or hiding your emotions. So Jake, why don't you start? What did you really think? And be honest, this is a safe space. When Leslie and I said that we were going to do this podcast.
So this is a safe space.
This is totally safe.
Yeah. So Leslie has a lot of ideas. She's an idea person, and I know you are too. I think I was at your guys' place when that idea like went from 0 to 60 in like 5 to 10 seconds.
That's fair.
But I think I'm pretty sure I was reading at the time something on the couch. And you guys, you know, you wanted to start a bridal dress shop a few years ago also. And and so I think when it came up, I remember kind of looking up and saying something profound like, cool, yeah, all right. And then I made a funny face at Zach, and then I resumed reading. I think that was pretty much
so
the extent of it.
What I hear you saying is that you were instantly moved.
Yeah, my heart was touched. It's true. Yeah.
All right, I think that's fair. But when you knew that we were serious, that like maybe that moment that you saw the Amazon purchase go through with our microphone,
yeah,
our headset, then what was it?
I mean, I actually like very real. I love podcasts. I listen
yes.
to podcasts all the time, and so you know, it's. I thought it was a cool idea, and when I you know first was listening to it. With your first episodes, I was genuinely excited. I think it's cool. I think you two are amazing. It really is pretty cool what you guys are doing.
Thanks,
and I feel
Jake.
Like it kind of a celebrity because I go around and people can talk about the podcast, and so I'm only a little resentful that I am not on the podcast all the time.
A little resentment never hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. And I like that you put the pressure on Zach. So Zach, please speak on it.
I responded, I believe, the same way I respond when Tomas says, I'm going to start running every day. With, like, my response would be, great, knowing it's not going to happen. Just like the bridal shop or the other 30 ideas that the two of you have had. Just like, that's a great idea, and I support you, knowing it's not going to happen.
That's fair.
It is great. I've listened to all of them except the most recent one, and I don't listen to a ton of podcasts, but it's in my, like, three that I listen to.
Well, we appreciate the support, husbands. I think I can speak on behalf of Leslie that your trepidation was justified. We have no problems admitting to our many... I mean, all of our ideas are legit, and I think if anyone else wanted it, just a few ideas of things to do, Leslie and I can give them a rundown, but we do love your support, and we love getting your feedback, too, on episodes, so thanks for
Leslie, that. Another great idea that Leslie once had was when we were living in Chicago, and we were in the second floor of our apartment, and we somehow... Leslie somehow got the idea that she wanted a chihuahua. Like, we saw my mom's chihuahua and she wanted one. But I was like, we live on the second floor of an apartment building. Like, how, you know, we have to take the dog all the way down there. And so her idea was to build a contraption that we could, like, open the window and lower the little chihuahua down onto our grassy spot. And then, you know, let it just do its business and then, like, kind of get a pulley system and rig that little chihuahua back up. So that was one that didn't quite make it to fruition, but... That could have been a moneymaker for city dwellers, I think.
It really could have. Oh, man. Just picturing the two of you staring out the window as your dog runs off down the street.
Well, we would have kept it on its long like a harness leash, you know? We would have lowered it down, and it would have been like an extended two-story leash, and then we would have, like, pulled it back up. So it never would have gone free.
And it never would have strangled itself somehow.
Tessa, you don't get it. I'm saying the harness goes around, kind of like a cat leash,
around
the whole body. It's like it's like a harness around the body, not around the neck. We're not monsters.
I really appreciate that you did think that out quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, we drew some pictures,
some blueprints, some initial mock-ups.
Knowing your construction background, I can only imagine what would have happened to that poor dog.
It would have worked out. It would have worked out.
Maybe we should link to your door blog post once again. We mentioned that on a previous episode about man tasks.
Yeah.
Check that out in the show notes, y'all. We have a segment we like to call When You Know Better, You Do Better. And I thought that was an appropriate title to talk about going plant-based. As I said in the intro, it's actually been over a year that Zach and I started going plant-based. Well, we just, in true Klipsch form, went all in. We gave all of our cheeses to someone who works for Zach. But and you were soon after that, weren't you, Jake?
I think so. I mean, it was somewhat soon after that, I'm pretty sure. I don't know exactly the timeline, but yeah.
Yeah, and you and Leslie have went vegan before for Lent. Like, this wasn't a brand new idea to you. You guys are not huge meat eaters. Our family, Zach and mine, has been vegetarians for about 6 years before that. So it wasn't like the three of us were huge meat eaters. We were not... you know, consuming it three times a day or anything, and then kind of shocked the system and went full plant-based. So it was a gradual thing, right?
Yeah. Leslie and I have gone back and forth between vegetarian to, you know, plant-based to steak to vegetarian again. So it's kind of always gone back and forth. But it was that one visit that with this most recent, you know, period of time where we visited you guys and came home and were kind of decided to do it and try it again.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was actually thinking about this before the podcast about not that many years ago for Christmas, because you love bacon. You genuinely love bacon. I've never seen anyone who loves it more than you, actually.
I have a genetic disposition toward ham and sweetmeats. It's true. Any meat that you can put syrup on is my favorite kind of meat. That was how it worked. And my children have totally taken that on.
Can you put syrup on any meat?
You could, but, you know, the sweet meats, the pig.
Is that the only sweet meat?
Anything with the pig.
Ham and bacon, Zach. Don't act like this is crazy. This is how it works. I mean, Eli, when he gets bacon, he's like, where's the syrup? You know?
That's so amazing. Sweet meats. Yeah, so, but a few years ago, I bought you a bacon-themed Christmas present. There was, like, bacon gum. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, it was so gross.
It was.
And, like, bacon Band-Aids.
Wasn't there bacon vodka in there?
I think so. Yeah, a bacon-infused vodka. Yeah. So, anyway, all this to say, people, you can change. If Jake can go baconless, you guys can do anything. You're capable of anything. But, Zach, you were actually the one that started this whole thing. You were the one that came to me and was like, I think we need to try to go vegan. So why did you do that?
No, so my friend Luke sent us a note saying, hey, I think you'd really like this podcast. And it was Rich Roll, who's a triathlete and plant-based. And, yeah, so I started listening to the podcast on my commute down to South Bend, which is about 45 minutes. And he's a... He's a triathlete. He just kind of seems very similar to me, like a very much addictive personality. And so I kind of thought, like, oh, I think I might get into triathlons. And then he started talking about his energy and all that kind of stuff, about how he felt better and how he wasn't getting sore. And so I thought, oh, we could kind of try this. And, yeah, when we went vegetarian 6 years ago, we went vegan for, like, the second week we tried it, and that was too far. But even going vegetarian wasn't exactly on purpose. So it was kind of, I just grabbed the wrong book. And instead of going paleo, we went vegetarian.
It's a big difference there.
Well, massive, John, massive. It is a little bit. I was wanting to go paleo, and there's a book by Jonathan Safran Foer, Eating Animals, that I assumed was very much like paleo. And I really like his books that he writes. So I was like, oh, this would be great. And it turns out it was about going vegetarian. It was a mistake.
But it's an excellent book. Eating Animals, we'll link to it in the show notes. But continue. So Rich Roll podcast was essentially kind of what planted the seed.
Yeah, I like challenges. I like just seeing what I can do and what I can, like, get through. And so when I started doing triathlons and started working out in the morning, and we started going vegan at the same time, and I just felt good. I just didn't feel tired. I didn't get sore. Within a very short period of time, I think I lost, I don't know, 20 pounds, which I had already lost 20 pounds when we went vegetarian. So, and it all happened really fast, and I kept eating whatever I wanted that was plant-based, and it just felt really good. So it just kind of kept going. And that was really before we knew all the science and all the, you know, pollution situation and the animal cruelty stuff. It was more just like how I felt.
Yeah, initially when you brought it up, it really was just, I'm skeptical if this is really going to be something, one, we can sustain, and two, that's going to be as life-changing as, like, Rich Roll talks about on his podcast and a lot of his guests talk about, which, by the way, listeners, that is one of all three of our favorite podcasts, the Rich Roll podcast, if you're into health at all. I don't do any triathlons, but I love all of the health. He has doctors and just cool entrepreneurs and stuff. So check that out. But anyway, it started almost like, just let's try it and see if we felt better. And we did. And for me, I've mentioned before on the Mama Bear Dares podcast that it also added a challenge in the kitchen. So Jake, you said, you know, obviously when you guys were here that weekend, I cooked fully plant-based. And so you kind of had left a little inspired to try it too. But what made you really kind of go all in?
In all seriousness, like, Leslie and I, and we've talked about this, like, whenever we visit you guys, we are always inspired when we leave in some way or another. you guys are like amazing parents, and so that's one of the things, and obviously the cooking, but like your kids are very self-sufficient. Like they do the dishes after they're done eating them, or they're like make their own food, as opposed to us. Like I think seriously, like only a year and a half I stopped hand bathing my oldest child, who's like almost 12.
It's creepy.
Yeah, it is creepy. I think I was like, you know, washing his underbelly, and I was like, you know, there's not some. This is not right. Like, this is not right. I think, Oliver, you need to take the lead here, bud. But anyway, that might have been an exaggeration. Sorry, Oliver, if you're listening. But well, anyway, so yeah, we left, and I remember being here and like looking at the different things you were doing, and I think you had your Vitamix blender, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, what? How does that work? And you like were showing me all the different stuff that you're doing, and so. And again, Leslie and I have gone back and forth, and we know that, you know, the seed has always been planted in us that,
right.
You know, we need to take care of ourselves, and I do have proclivities to, like Zach mentioned, too, like an addictive type of personality and overdoing things, and same thing with eating and everything. And so, you know, we literally went home and like, we went out and, like, got good stuff. And a hard part of that for me has been like the cost and everything, mm-hmm. but we said, no, this is an important thing, and the benefits will pay off. And that was the first big step. And then, you know, we saw some of the documentaries that you guys have talked about and just kind of kept diving deeper and deeper into that. And it's really just changed everything, kind of changed the outlook on how we eat and how we see the world and everything.
I mean, one, I want to address the cost issue, because I do think that is the maybe even the single biggest factor why people don't want to try either fully plant-based, or they don't incorporate enough fruits and veggies into their diet in general, is mm-hmm. just that they think it's really expensive. And
right.
The truth is, obviously, if you're buying really organic, and if you're in the Midwest like we are, and you're in kind of that like wasteland in three of the four seasons, it is hard and it is more expensive. But, you know, like we've talked about, the health exchanges in terms of what my kids never go to the doctor. You know, they're mm-hmm. just really healthy. They don't have injuries. They don't go to the doctor. They don't struggle as much with allergies or seasonal issues like that. Because of this, the trade-off is there, but there is more initial investment at times, for sure.
I'd like to know, with your own kids, you know, that's been a struggle with us. Like, we don't want to force them, I guess. And mm-hmm. so at home, we don't really, we do a little bit. Like, we'll buy meat for Sentai or for different things, but we don't, you know, we're not making burgers. We're not doing all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But like when the kids really want that, or they go out to eat, how do you guys handle that? Do they ask for burgers and hot dogs or anything like that? Or
never at home.
It's not an option.
No, it's not an option in our house. They know that, so they don't even ask. But if they go out with friends or something like that, they'll eat whatever they want. The interesting part is that, I mean, we don't go out to eat as a family all that often. It's very rare, just because Three Rivers, Michigan does not have like a bumpin' restaurant scene. Mm-hmm. So we rarely go out anyway. But so I'd say, I mean, they're mostly vegan as well, right? Because that's what they pack their lunch with. That's everything. Because their systems are really so clean, a lot of them choose not to have some of the really terrible stuff, even when they go out, because they know how bad it makes them feel.
Right. Interesting.
Did you have anything to add? Sweet cheeks.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you look at the medical bill stuff, and they're never sick, and I'm sure they're going to get injuries from time to time. That's just natural from climbing a tree, but it's definitely better.
There's that video circulating on Facebook, Jake, and I think you tagged me in it too, but it was like, if meat eaters talk like vegans, and the three of us are just probably uber aware of not being those vegans. You know, mm-hmm. like those vegans in quotations, right? The ones that are kind of proselytizing everywhere they go and doing all of that. But the reality is, I think in our home, that's where you are the safest to just go off on your soapbox, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also important for me, like my mom, when she comes to visit, She just came a few weekends ago and brought an entire table worth of junk food. And that, you know what? But it's fine, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fine. I don't want them to feel like they're missing out. I don't want them to then get to college and eat only Chips Ahoy and brown sugar balls and all of that. I want them to experience that a little bit at a time, too. So it's hard. The parenting angle is hard.
And I think they will eventually do that. I have no doubt that they're going to do that when they go to college. But I hope that when they do it and then they feel like crap, they're going to say, oh, man, I feel like crap because I ate crappy food.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I ever thought that growing up. But that's not anything negative to our parents.
Of course not.
I never attribute, unless I completely overate and then I felt like so overstuffed. That's the only time I can ever remember thinking, I feel bad. I wonder if it relates to the grilled cheese that, or the cheese crisp, which is just a tortilla covered in cheese and nature seasons.
You guys miss the cheese crisps, though, a little bit, don't you?
But you know, it's interesting about things that you miss, you know.
Yeah.
I've gotten to a point, and I think it's because the microbiome and your biology kind of changes where, like, my kids, again, at a restaurant, they'll order what I won't eat. They'll order a burger, and, like, I don't crave that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or even a cheese crisp. I honestly don't crave that anymore. Like, it's a different desire. Or if there is a twinge of it, it's usually because I'm tired and, like,
yes,
my physical, psychological senses are down. But I try to, when I am mindful of that, I kind of have to take a breath and say, you know, speaking to myself, saying that's not really what is going to make you feel any better. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Yeah. It is. Of anything, I just want my kids to develop the awareness. The awareness that, like, if I eat this, I feel like this. But also, just listening to your body, listening to your mental cues to talk about. I mean, that's a really advanced thing, right? To be able to say, like, oh, you don't want that chocolate cake. You're actually just sad.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a really advanced thing, but that's what I want my kids. And sometimes it's okay to eat a piece of chocolate cake when you're sad. That's not, but as long as you're like, I'm sad,
aware.
I want this. Yeah. Then it's fine. Right. So we're not going to go into all of the health reasons and the environmental reasons. We're not going to kind of deep dive into those just because we could be here all day. We're that excited and that passionate about it. But I do want to mention a few of the things, the resources that have helped us kind of come to this place where, like Jake said, we don't miss it anymore. We don't miss the meat. We don't miss the fettuccine Alfredo. And we were big connoisseurs of those things. So a great place to start, like we mentioned, is Rituals podcast. We will link to that. You are listening to a podcast, so we know you like it. His are a little bit longer, but it's all scientifically based. He often has scientists who are studying things like the gut microbiome that will blow your mind. Am I right? Like, it just, it's, you nerd out often on the Ritual podcast, don't you?
Absolutely. It's always fascinating. It's not always a scientist on, like,
yeah.
I think the most recent one was Steve-O from the Jackass movies, but
that's true.
But it was still equally fascinating because he is also plant-based now and, like, has an amazing story about that. So,
yeah.
Not all his guests are plant-based.
No.
He obviously is, and that's one of his big pillars he stands on. But I think what I love most about it is, one, yeah, there's tons of education that you can geek out on, but two, it's his authenticity is amazing. Like, he is really raw about himself, and I think when he interviews people, that comes across, and then they become very raw coming back, which is in a day when everybody is so, like, PR conscious, you don't get a whole lot of people being super vulnerable. So yeah, I love that podcast.
It's true. He's a great interviewer. He manages to really get some cool things from his guests. So definitely check that out. Probably one of the first documentaries. These are all going to be available on Netflix. And most of you maybe have even heard of this one, but it's called Food Inc. And that's kind of just your base level about factory farms. What I personally love about Food Inc. is that they also talk about the angle from the farmers. A lot of people are thrown off by some of the other documentaries because it's just talking about the animals or whatever. But Food Inc. is really based on how it's hurting the farmers too. And for people like us who grew up in Iowa, we all knew farmers, right? And so to get from their viewpoint how hard it is to be in the industry was also really eye-opening. If you just want to know what happens to animals on factory farms, you can YouTube, you know, look it up on YouTube. But Food Inc. was one of the kind of mass documentaries that showed some of that footage, the footage where some of the workers of factory farms were taking it. And so it showed the abuse there. But check that out. Forks over knives. So this is really the health impact of the dairy industry. It dives more into kind of cancers, cholesterol, those kind of things. You, as Klipsches, have genetically, you're predisposed to heart disease and high cholesterol, high blood pressure, as well as you guys have lost, you know, obviously an aunt to cancer. So when Zach initially mentioned going vegetarian, I was all in because, to be quite honest, I mean, as Klipsches, we joke often that you guys are going to die far before us, that, like, we're going to need second husbands because
that's
you guys...
That's hilarious, Leslie. I mean, Tessie, very funny. It's hilarious.
To be fair, he starts the joking of that.
Well, and your grandparents are 110 years old.
It's true. I come from sturdier genetics, apparently. But that was one of the reasons that it hooked me when I watched Forks Over Knives, because it talked about the link between heart disease, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, all of that stuff, and how dairy and the inflammation that dairy can cause really affects that. So did you have the same kind of moment with Forks Over Knives, Jake?
Absolutely. That's the one that we watched that. I think probably you guys recommended it, and it was like, oh my gosh, that one, you know, we had started, but like it really drove it to like, yeah, this is absolutely right. And that's the one that when other people ask questions about, you know, what are you doing that for? How do you do this? And I try to, I mean, I'm not an expert in it. So like, mm-hmm. I kind of try to describe it. I realize they just like, you just need to watch this documentary. That's what really sold it for me. It was just about whole foods, foods, plant-based diet, but like that whole foods piece is really big.
Yes.
It's not just, you know, vegans can be incredibly unhealthy and overweight also, mm-hmm. because you can eat cotton candy and you know, a lot of junk, but the whole foods piece, and actually Leslie's mom and stepdad have been preaching that basically, you know, they have this crazy garden in their backyard and they bring in stuff from their backyard. The only difference is that they disagree with the idea of not adding meat to their mm-hmm. diet, and they have great arguments for it. But, you know, even if, I guess I would say to any listener who's like, well, I'm kind of interested in this, but I'm not sure, like, at least take a look at the Whole Foods place and eating real food and not, you know, just the junk out of boxes, which are just so prevalent everywhere. But anyway, Forks Over Knives, yeah, that was amazing. I think I've seen it 3 times now. I just, like, rewatch it. I made my kids watch it with me and Leslie and everybody, and we've seen it multiple times.
There were 2 doctors who've done really long studies on the effects of a whole foods plant-based diet. So
the biggest study, the China study. The biggest study in the world ever done. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's about these scientists. So for those of you who are totally skeptical and don't want our, you know, obviously this podcast is more anecdotal evidence about why we love the plant-based, if you want the science behind it, that's the one for you, Forks Over Knives.
Our YMCA does a health plan where they track a certain amount of characteristics, and depending on where you rate on those, you can either, you get a certain amount of money that's put into your health savings account, B, you take some physical classes, and then you get the same amount of money, or C, you just say, I don't want the extra money in my health savings account. So in December of 2014, which is, I had been vegetarian now for 5 years.
Yeah.
My cholesterol was 211, which is not good. My LDLs was 86. My non-HDLs, which I don't know if, I guess somebody, maybe you could list this in the show, it's what this stuff means, because I don't know. But some of the bigger ones, my triglycerides was 327.
Which is insane, because you, in 2014, you were 33.
Yeah, I was 33. Yep. I was 205 pounds, which is 20 pounds less than when we started vegetarian.
And you're 6'1".
Mm-hmm.
just to give people an idea, that's not a good, these are not great numbers.
My blood pressure wasn't bad, 122 over 82. I consider myself an athlete, like most, the majority of the time I'm fairly athletic. But so that was in December of 2014. I didn't change anything in my behavior until May of 2015, which is when we went vegan. And then June 11th, so 1 month of being vegan, my cholesterol dropped 100 points. My LDL dropped 36 points. My non-HDL dropped 90 points. My HDL dropped 11 points. My triglycerides dropped. They were 327, and they were 63 1 month later. Or excuse me, 1 month of being vegan. My glucose dropped over 40. My waist circumference dropped an inch. So I say it's 1 month, even though the test was 6 months apart. I hadn't to change anything in my behavior. And then another 6 months later, when I did the test again, everything else continued to drop. My blood pressure dropped. My waist circumference went down 3 inches. And the thing is I don't eat. I eat until I'm full. Like, I still eat to where I'm full. And that's when people say, oh, you can't have that. It's like, I could definitely have that. It's not like I'm allergic to it and I would die. I just choose not to put that into my mouth. Yeah. Like, that is kind of disgusting to me. And that's what most people say. Like, oh, can you eat this? Like, I could eat everything.
Yeah.
I just choose not to eat that. I could eat feces off the ground, but that's disgusting. No one wants to eat that in the normal public.
And then if you're an environmentalist, this is a newer one. It's called Cowspiracy. It just came to Netflix, I don't know, a handful of months ago or so. It touches on the nutrition and that kind of thing. But by and large, it's about the crazy huge environmental impact that the meat industry and dairy has on our world. It makes a really good case for the idea that if you consider yourself an environmentalist, you really can't be unless you're either vegan or mostly vegan. Wouldn't you agree, Zach?
Yeah, to some extent. Like, if you go out, when we started going vegetarian, I had said, all right, well, if I want meat bad enough, I'll get into hunting and I'll go and I'll hunt a deer and that's how I'll eat meat. And I still stand by that. Like, people who go out and they hunt an animal and they kill it with it right in front of them and they process their own meat, I truthfully don't have a problem with that.
Right.
Like, you are seeing where your meat's coming from. You are taking the life. You're witnessing the life come out of this animal's eyes. Then you have earned that. But we don't have that in our culture. Like, our kids don't know where they're putting food in their mouth. They have no idea what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that was a huge one, is just understanding where your food is coming from and what it is. And,
yeah,
the environmental thing, it's by far the biggest environmental issue we have. I mean, not environmental, it's the number one causer of pollution. And so you can't, I guess you could, I don't want to get too soapboxy, but you can drive a Prius. And that's great, and I encourage people to drive a Prius. But this, you're not looking at the number one issue. That's far and beyond the auto industry, is ag industry. I mean, it's crazy. And that movie there, the documentary Cowspiracy, is just like, that blew my mind. Because I wasn't a vegan because of environmental issues at all before.
Right.
But it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's the one that after Leslie and I watched that one, that she was even more so like, I'm sold.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and again, it is very provocative for sure, and that, you know, I think, Tessa, you just said that, and it is, I think it's a quote from the movie that one of the guys interviewed says, you can't consider yourself an environmentalist if you aren't on a plant-based diet. And I, like I said, whether you agree with that or not, like I said, I don't want to be that person that says that, like, so I'm like, I don't know, but that, if you want to argue that or like be affirmed in what you might already believe or like totally disagree, like that's a good one to watch, because it does make you like wonder, like, what's going on here? Because why is no one talking about it? And that's the whole thesis throughout the whole thing, is why is nobody talking about the impact of this?
Yeah, they make the case for not being able to call yourself an environmentalist if you're not vegan. We'll say that. And actually, if you just go onto their website, which again, we will link, they have most of the facts right there. So if you're not into documentaries, for shame, first of all. But no, I totally get it. If you want the Cliff Notes, we will link to their website and you can see a lot of that. And what I love about those movies that we, those documentaries we just mentioned, as well as the Jonathan Safran Foer book, is that really, if, you know, if you don't care about animals, like, you don't care that they're being abused and treated badly and pumped full of hormones and all of that, that's fine. But if you care about your body, there's a reason to go, there's an argument there for plant-based, right? If you care about the environment, but you don't really care about animals or the health of your body, there's a reason there, right? So those were just to give you an example of whatever you care deeply about, there is an argument to be had for going plant-based. And really, I just wanted to talk to you guys because the truth of the matter is that we still, like, Jake, you made a delicious vegan peanut butter chocolate pie. Like, we do not go without delicious, amazing, and sometimes unhealthy vegan foods, right? But so I don't ever, there's not a single day that I feel like I'm being challenged or that I'm missing out.
Yeah, absolutely. I, you know, a part of my journey into where I am right now has come with, like, meditation. Like, that has been the kind of the foundation, like, the most steady thing for the last few years now. And that has helped me to examine myself more and more. And even more recently, there was an article I read in the New York Times about, just recently, about why dieting never works. And a part of that had to do with the fact that there's always stress involved in that and, like, guilt about it. Mm-hmm. And when that stress is comes in, it actually increases cortisol level in your body, and then it creates the opposite impact. Yeah. So dieting actually causes people in the long run to gain weight more than the opposite. And so I've come to realize that when I do make, you know, a choice that, you know, whether it's I eat something that might have something in it that I wouldn't normally have, or, like, in a weak moment, I have to, like, be okay with forgiving myself for that.
Yes.
And not, you know, just being anxious about it and thinking, oh, I just messed it all up. Why should I even, you know, I guess it doesn't, I ate that yesterday and I messed it up, so I might as well just eat it again today. But I've come to more of, like, self-compassion and, like, self-forgiveness and, like, allowing myself to say, you know, that's okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that wherever anyone is on their journey, whether it's this or anything, I think we'd all be better off if we were a lot less hard on ourselves about any of these things, and just knowing that, you know, it's okay.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like, we're not coming at this from a place of judgment if you are a meat eater 3 to 5 times a day. I mean, not at all. We recognize that people are just kind of on their own human journey, right? And you're going to get to where you get at various times, and it looks different for everyone. So this is not at all a place of a judgment, but really on this podcast, we always dare you to just be the best you, to take care of yourself in whatever kind of capacity that means, mentally, physically, spiritually, all of those things, because you're worth it. And so one of the reasons, other than selfishly because I was missing Leslie, that I wanted to talk to Zach and Jake was because it's been so cool as their sister / wife to see the transformation in you guys. I joked with Leslie, Jake, not too long ago that I actually didn't even know you liked me until you started meditating.
Oh my God, that is hilarious.
I was like, I don't know if he's just now in touch with his emotions and he can let me know that he likes me. And I was only half joking. But really just the openness, because Zach has started a meditation, and it's off and on, but for the most part lately as well. And I think it's huge for men. Men are so culturally told that they can't, like, they shouldn't be in touch with their emotions. Like, Zach knows I despise when people say man up. It's like my least favorite phrase. But seeing what meditation does for the two of you has been so cool to witness. So I believe you 100% that meditation is really what kind of started, you know, this path for you to be even open to a plant-based diet, because you have more compassion with yourself to know that, like, even if you eat a block of string cheese at some point, that doesn't make you a bad person or a bad vegan or whatever. Yeah. It just makes you a person eating a block of string cheese.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, next time Leslie goes to Tanzania, we can do a whole nother podcast on meditation, because, like, I'd love to do that. So if I can get her to go to Africa again, then you know, hook me up, and I'll go on the podcast again.
I'm going to take you up on that.
The same thing with, like, exercise. So, you know, I know Zach is like doing the triathlons, and really, you know, he runs and he, you know, does all that stuff. I have a desire to do that, but then I've talked to you about this before, where it's like, it's hard with this point in my life with my kids to find time, and, like, choosing when to do that, and so, but I've had to say, it's okay. Like, I try to ride my bike, but if I don't, it doesn't mean I should quit altogether. Mm-hmm. And say, well, I can't do it, so I'm just never going to do it. But, like, say, it's all right. I'm okay with this. And I think really, yeah, that meditation piece has helped me to get to that point, and also find other ways, like where I'm now kind of exploring yoga. And my goal has always been where I can get obsessive and say, I'm going to do it every day. I'm going to wake up at 5 and I'm going to do it every day. And then, but if I don't, for some reason in the past, I might've just said, well, this is impossible, and not do it at all. But knowing, like, even if I do it twice a week, it's better than not doing it at all.
Exactly.
You know? And so that's kind of where I've been, I guess.
You know, the biggest takeaway here is that try it, number one. Try, and by it, I mean Monday. Make Mondays your day to add more vegetables. Be super purposeful about having the majority of your plate be fruits and vegetables. Maybe try that. Start there. But in life in general, be easier on yourself. We're going to make mistakes. We're not going to do exactly what we set out to do the first time or the second time or the third time. And that is not a statement on who you are. That is not a statement on your ability to control things. That really is just a statement on your humanity. So we've all been there, and the three of us included. So you guys, you're amongst friends here. I just want you to be totally okay with yourself. I've been blessed as a woman to have a very supportive husband, and then to have a supportive brother who never looks at me sideways when I say, like, oh, that's vegan. How would a mama bear approach it if her husband was really, really against the idea? Jake, do you have any ideas?
I think, I mean, if he can watch Forks Over Knives, mm-hmm. just to get an idea, because I think the protein argument is going to be out there probably, yeah. for him, about, like, you know, I want my kids to be strong. I want to be strong, and as if you can't do that, you know. And there's so mm-hmm. many athletes, including pro football players and
right.
MMA fighters, that, you know, there's that can do it, and it's fine. I would also, if he is a very, like, a masculine macho kind of guy, a couple ritual episodes ago, John Joseph, that was his name, right?
Yeah.
He was the one that wrote the book. I'm not even sure if I'm allowed to say the title.
I don't
on this
think
podcast.
You are. I can bleep it out. Go ahead.
But he wrote a book called Meat is for P-.
Yes.
And so, and he is, like, I mean, he's a fascinating guy, but if you listen to that podcast, he grew up hardcore, you know, in and out of jail, mm-hmm. real rough guy. And he still sounds like, but then he has slowly transformed herself, and he still talks like, and you know, he's a big
heavy
athlete.
Boston accent. It's Boston something. Or Brooklyn or something.
Some,
it's
yeah.
very, it's a heavy, yeah.
But he went plant-based, and like now, and he still like is a tough, you know, I went to his YouTube channel, and like, I can't let my kids watch it. Like, his language is terrible. And, but his whole kind of shtick is preaching to, I mean, the book is for, you know, guys to say, like, oh, okay, you know, like, this isn't a guy, as that mm-hmm. kind of mentioned the caricature of, like, the hippie vegan person, like,
right.
this guy's talking about, you know, he's a big dude, and And so that might be, it depends on who your husband is, I guess. I don't know. But that would be, or maybe where to start on a couple of those.
Yeah, email us, Mama Bears, if you have a question about that. And we can ask Jake and Zach to directly answer those questions for you. Did you have anything else to add, hun?
I would say, I'm making potentially a gross assumption here, but I'm guessing that in many cases, the mama bears are the ones that are setting the menu for the household.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, you can, again, find some meals that you currently have that are already vegan and just bump them up on the list. Or start researching some meals that, you get most of your stuff off Pinterest is where, yep, I feel like most of the new stuff comes. So there's things out there, and again, maybe not make a big deal out of it at first. Because, yeah, if you would have came to me 7 years ago and said, hey, we're going to go vegan, I would have. I'm trying to think how you could have approached me, and I would have been okay with it.
I don't think I could have.
And I don't think you could have.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. So there isn't a way like, oh, how can I get my husband to go vegan tomorrow?
Right.
And it's not going to be for everybody, unfortunately, I assume. But that would be one way to start. I think, yeah, understanding what speaks to that person. Is it, the health implications of it? I've never met anyone before who's protein deficient. And so the, mm-hmm, idea that they need meat for this, you can pull up, the 300-pound vegan who's an NFL athlete. Like, that's a great podcast to listen to on a ritual.
Just to park it there real quick. Yeah, there are no protein deficiencies in America, you guys. So that is probably the number one question we get asked is, where are you getting your protein? Especially for me, who, is in the fitness industry, never had a problem, feel a lot better since going vegan. I've had my blood drawn recently. I'm not even remotely anemic. So, you guys, it's a non-issue. It really is a non-issue. And the more you learn about it, the more you'll see that it's all hype. We are here. Hit us up on our social media accounts, and we'd be happy to just go with you on your journey and give you any more tips or tricks that have helped the three of us. So if you don't want to be public about it, like I said, email's great, mamabeardares@gmail.com. Hey guys, just a reminder, whatever you do, don't sue us.
We're not doctors.
Well, Jake's a doctor. Jake is a doctor, you guys.
Not that kind of doctor.
So yeah, so don't sue us. So things we should probably feel guilty about, but don't. I wanted to do this segment with you guys because we've talked on the podcast before about how women often feel pressure to feel guilty almost. Like, there's the phrase, right? Mommy guilt. But there's no equivalent phrase for men. There's no like daddy guilt. That's not a thing that's written about all the time, right? So I thought it'd be fun to do this segment and just to see if there's a difference in the sexes with what they should feel guilty about but don't.
I think that's a little bit biased because I feel like, in general, men just don't share their feelings about guilt.
Therefore, it's true.
I think there's daddy guilt. It's just that dads don't talk about it.
I actually mentioned that on the podcast. Thanks for listening.
I obviously did. Sorry, I haven't memorized all of them.
I mentioned on the podcast how you do struggle with guilt. It's just that in our culture, it's not a thing you guys are allowed to feel. So that's why I wanted to do this, because I wanted to know if it's still something you do feel, but you just like push it down and then you put a few snack cakes on it and
Oreos.
Then you just Oreos, some Oreos.
There we go. Yeah. Some vegan. Oreos are vegan, which is
Oreos crazy. Are vegan, you guys.
Yep.
All right, Jake, you're up. Anything you need to get off your chest?
I do, Tessie. Thanks for asking. I don't know, you had that intro, and so I don't know what kind of things you're looking for here, but
okay.
The first thing that popped up for me is when I am wanting, going out to eat, or I'm in a celebratory mood,
uh-huh.
I always like a good, like, hard martini, vodka kind of martini, but when I really want to celebrate, my favorite drink is a strawberry margarita on the rocks with sugar on the rim. I mean, pass it my way. I want it. And I have to admit, here's the thing, and maybe I don't really feel guilty about it, but I am embarrassed. I don't know if I can do those things, or sometimes I have to ask Leslie to order it for me. And then when she gets it, and then when I order a beer, which is what she wants, then we switch. So
that, which part should you feel guilty about? The, like, hiding it and making your wife order the strawberry margarita?
Like, the whole deal. Like, men aren't supposed to do that. I think, actually, I just thought of another thing similar, is that my other drink, which I can't drink anymore, or don't drink anymore, is, like, a White Russian.
Oh,
I used to always
God,
love those in college.
Too.
But I remember in Mexico for, like, Leslie and I went on our honeymoon, or when we were down there, and I swam up to the swimming bar and asked for a White Russian, and the guy actually said, "That's a drink for senoritas." And I was like, "What? Come on." So I like the feminine drinks. I like a little fruity with a little sugar or something sweet in there, and it's good stuff. Actually, I remember at another bar in Iowa City, I went in there with Leslie and ordered the drink. It was called a Big Girl Margarita, and apparently it's not for a 22-year-old, 230-pound, you know, badass like myself, but Leslie and her girlfriends, who both had, like, 16-ounce beers, were so, like, made fun of me so bad, and that I was so embarrassed because I think we were just dating, that I went ahead and ordered a beer and drank it and then drank my Big Girl Margarita just to, like, prove that I could handle it. So,
I'm anyway. So proud of you for that. All right, Zach, yeah. Your turn. What should you probably feel guilty about, but you really don't?
I generally feel guilty about everything.
You do. Facts.
I can't come up with anything.
The reformed Catholic in you.
I don't feel guilty about... When I go out, I can't think of anything. The only thing, as I'm sitting here right now, is like I should feel worse about the fact that I just coached a 2-hour baseball practice in like 80-degree heat, and I know that my feet smell terrible, and I'm just sitting with them right next to you, and that doesn't cause much guilt for me.
I wish it did.
I know.
I wish it did.
The one thing that I should feel guilty about, I don't.
All right, I have one. I have one for Zach.
These are the best.
That you should feel guilty for.
Here's what Zach maybe should feel guilty about but doesn't. And I actually don't think he should feel guilty about it, but I'm wondering why he doesn't. Is that a good preface? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Well, no, this isn't even funny, I don't think. But we talked about this earlier. So, Zach, you run and you bike and you, like, swim. Like, you are in very good shape and you train for, like, triathlons all the time. Like, how... And so, like, my issue is that, you know, I feel bad about, like, needing to be home. Like, how do you balance that out with your family time, other than having, like, an amazing wife who's just like, no, this is good for you? Like, how does that work for you?
Thank you so much.
Well, it's definitely, like, it ebbs and flows. So I'm not in a great rhythm of, like, working out right now. I think just as work stuff has come up, it's been difficult. But the only time I can do it is at 5:30 in the morning. And before I was working out, I would, because Tessie was, in quotes, a stay-at-home mom, she would get the kids ready in the morning, and so I generally would get up before. I would get up at, like, 7, or maybe a little earlier, at 6:45, as the kids were walking out the door, and I'd say goodbye, but she had taken care of everything. And so by getting up at 5:30, I would miss that goodbye if I was up at that time. But otherwise, that's all I would miss. So I realized by staying up until, which I used to, I'd stay up until midnight or 12:30, because I needed to have, like, my downtime at night to kind of come off the cliff a little bit from work or family or whatever. I just moved that into 5:30 in the morning and made it more of a healthy outlet, which is exercise versus sitting by myself watching movies, having a drink. Which is what I was doing at night. But still, like, on the weekends, if we're sitting around and we're doing nothing and I go out on a bike ride, I feel guilty about it. That it's just like, this is just my time, which I feel guilty about that. Or if I'll go for a run during the day, I'll feel guilty about that. Like, it's... And then if I sit at home and I don't go for a run, I feel guilty about it. So
it's true.
It's just constant.
I can attest to the truth of this.
Yeah.
I've urged our listeners before about the reality, and the only reason that I almost get mad at you and you feel guilty about that is, like, Leslie and I have talked about with you too, Jake, that, like, you guys are nicer people when you take care of yourself, mm-hmm. yourselves. And so do it. You shouldn't feel guilty about that. You shouldn't feel guilty about that, Jake. I denounce all guilt from both of you.
Oh, thanks, Tessie.
You're welcome. That's a blanket statement. You get that covers only working out.
See, I think that's a little
weird. Yeah, that's not a blanket statement. That's
no?
A, that's okay. Like a tissue statement that only you lay over one piece.
I'll take that.
Yeah, I think if it's, but it's still the balance. Like if I worked out from 6 p.m. until 9 p.m. every day, you would have a problem with that.
No, do it. Just kidding.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Jake, do you have more? What else should you feel guilty about but don't?
All right, well, I'll skim through a few of these and then get to one that I think is maybe more about what you're hitting on about, like, quote, like man guilt or daddy guilt.
Okay.
So this one's just another random one. So when Leslie's out of town, like which is not too often, like right now, mm-hmm. there's like an ironic, like the kids get excited, and I was like, we can do anything you want, because I'm not a nice dad usually, you know, so I try to like ham that up a little bit, like, what do you want to do? And like the first time she was out of town last year, they were like, can we go to Golden Corral? And I was like, yeah, let's go to Golden Corral. And so we went there, and like, and that was the last time we went. And so this time again, when Leslie's out of town, I was like, you guys know what time it is, going to Golden Corral. And so it was
you eat there, speaking on.
They actually, there is a large, in addition to the chocolate fountain and the cotton candy and the gummy bears and the soft serve ice cream and the fried chicken and the pre-made beef patties, they have actually a good options of vegetables. And I asked the guy that was there, I was like, are these in oil or in water or in butter or what? And there was like corn and there was like a fajita bar. So it was okay. I'm sure there's like, you know, they're. It's all terrible, like, you know, how it's probably prepared. I don't know, maybe. But it's Golden Corral. Kids love Golden Corral.
Well, of course, kids love Golden Corral, and they also love not taking showers for weeks.
It's true. That's a good point. But, like, as a principal, I've been at elementary, junior high, and high school, and, like, when kids get to celebrate and they want to, the principal takes them to lunch without fail, at every level, all the kids want to go to Golden Corral.
What?
I was like, name a restaurant, any restaurant. And they were like, can we go to Golden Corral? And I was like, oh, my God. And I was trying to let Eli, my 9-year-old, enjoy his food. But as he's sitting there with a plate of, like, chocolate that he got from the chocolate fountain, that he put his plate under the fountain to get chocolate and was just eating gummy bears and just sticking them into his dirty face, I almost couldn't handle it. But he even admitted at the end. I was like, so did you get it out of your system? And he was like, yeah, I did. Yeah. So he even knew, like, this was a terrible, terrible experience.
He went too far.
He did go too far.
That is amazing.
So I'm coaching Tristan and Tomas, but it's a 13 and 14-year-old baseball team. And they are like the Bad News Bears. And just a cluster of awkwardness and goofiness. And today...
And changing voices.
Oh, God, it's just... And they're all just a bunch of... I don't know. It's just they're goofballs.
And it probably smells terrible all around, probably. It
smells terrible all around. There's just constant voice changing as they yell at each other. Just weird jokes being said. But anyway, so today at practice, they were all just... All usually there's like a couple that are a little wild, but every one of them was... just lazy and wild and just, that's not good. That doesn't do well for me. I don't handle that very well. And so finally by the end of the practice, I like brought them all in, and I'm not much of a yeller, but I basically just said like, this is a waste of my time. I'm not going to do this anymore. And we're over halfway through the season, but I'm just said, if you just want to show up and goof around, I will bring the equipment and you guys can just goof around on the field by yourself, which at a 13-year-old, I probably would have said, oh, great, do that. But myself now is like, that's a waste of my time. And then I said, and this field needs to get drug. I'm going to walk to my car and take a break. You guys get the field. And they were there for 20 minutes dragging this like big metal grate. Anybody that's drug a field before this, they usually hook up behind it like a
tractor,
a John Deere tractor, kind of a little gator. Well, we don't have one of those at our little small town JV field. So they had to drag this thing by hand. So I go and I sit down and by this time, practice had been over for 10, should have been over 10 minutes ago. And they're all sitting there and they're like, oh, you made them drag the field, huh? And I was like, yeah, they were less than enthusiastic and I got tired of it. So I told them to drag it. And one guy was like, good for you. And I just thought, like, I should feel bad that I, like, and there hasn't been rain here in a while, so there's just dust everywhere. And they're just, you just see these kids dragging this thing across this field back and forth, back and forth. And I just went, yep, there you go. You can have that.
I'm okay with that. You don't have to feel guilty about that.
I wouldn't feel guilty about that either.
That's the one thing in my life right now that I don't feel guilty about. And my feet.
Yeah.
That's been my whole life, though.
That is true. Yeah.
And you know this already. When company is over at my house, I have an insatiable desire to clean and do the dishes while they're there. I don't know why it is, but, like, I have to do it. Like, I try to sit down. Leslie and I, we've tried to have been working on it. She's like, you need to sit and talk. You need to talk to people. And I was like, I'm going to do it this time. And so I sit and I talk a little bit, but I'm just like, oh, my God, those plates, no one's going to clean themselves. And before I know it, I'm in the kitchen, and I'm just happy as a bird.
Happy as a bird?
I think
so. Is that a reference?
Happy as a clam or chirpy as a bird? What is it? I don't know.
I think it's happy,
happy
as a clam, but I don't know.
I'm chirpy and happy. I don't know what it is. But anyway,
it's
you know how
true.
That works.
I don't know if you listened to our most recent mini about relationships and how your love language is acts of service and so is mine, because you and I have talked about this before. And how it does. It drives Leslie nuts that you go in and clean the dishes. But I think it, one, the dishes drive you crazy, but also, like, the introvert in you is also driven crazy with just that much eye contact and personal communication.
Yeah, which is so interesting. And I guess that's maybe how introverts work, that at work, I don't think anyone at my workplace would ever say, like, he's an introvert, because I'm, like, talking to people all day long. But in a social situation at home, you know, I like having people over, but I like to just have them around me while I, like, scrub the lasagna pan or whatever it is.
Or leave your book on the couch. That's also a thing you do.
Yeah, that's happened. I tried it. That's a little more overt. I've kind of cut that one out a little bit, I think. But so anyway, so my last one, all right?
Okay.
So, and this is more probably like daddy guilt or man guilt, I'm not sure. And I don't know if there's anyone, any other, I've never heard any other man talking about this, but like somehow or another, and I grew up in a family where it was sports all the time, and, you know, it'd be football season, it'd be on, basketball season, whatever, and I followed it. I mean, I was the biggest Cubs fan, used to live right next to the Cubs, but somehow or another, I have lost all interest in sport culture, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, I don't know what sports even on television right now. We don't have cable, so I'm probably because I'm, so I don't see ESPN or anything like that, but sometimes people will come to me at work and be like, man, did you see it last night? See the game? And I lie to them straight to their face. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I could not believe he did that with the ball. And I'm like, the ball, you know, and not like the racket. Like, who watches tennis? But
I'm the guy who actually played tennis.
I played a little tennis, but like even today at work, we had a kid come in to like be interviewed to come to the school that I'm at, and he had a shirt on, and the associate principal, who happens to be a female, was like, oh, I couldn't believe they lost last night. And I let it slip. I was like, is that a Golden State shirt? Like, at least I kind of knew, but like, is this the playoffs right now? Is it Golden State in the playoffs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. See, I'm embarrassed a little bit with my brother to say that, but I had no idea.
That doesn't surprise me whatsoever. So you don't need to be embarrassed, because I kind of assumed that.
Yeah. But like, you know, now the Cubs are great again right now. And so I'm trying to like, I have to like Google if they won or not, because again, we don't ever get to see the games, but I lie to people all the time and try to pretend to follow sports. And I've just slowly petered out on me. I don't know what it is.
You should absolutely not feel guilty about that, but I do understand the pressure to keep up as a man in our culture. I get that pressure. I mean, not personally, but I can feel those things. You just like the sports.
Yeah, I mean, I...
Zach's silence here is only making me feel worse.
I know, like...
Hey, Zach, how about a little bit, like, don't feel guilty, Jake. It's okay. Sport culture is just another thing in the world, just like, you know, a food
just
culture.
Just patriarchy.
I can feel his guilt through my computer right now.
I feel like this is both of you. You haven't even let me speak, and you've already been against my argument.
Go ahead, Zach.
I think that's just what being a little brother is.
I don't think there's anything bad about that whatsoever. Like, I'll talk to people, and I pay attention to it somewhat, but I don't think there's anything about it whatsoever. Like, I watch Cubs game, and I'm very much aware that whether they win or lose has no impact on my life. Like, I'd like them to do well, and like football, I'm much less into that than I am the Cubs games, but I don't think you should feel guilty about that whatsoever. I don't.
Me either.
If I said, oh, did you watch that game last night? And you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, oh, the Cubs game. And you said, no, I wouldn't think anything negative of it whatsoever.
Or it's true, but it's a lot funnier that you lie.
I need to get to a point. I need to get to a point where I say, yeah, I don't really follow sports. And I remember my uncle Kevin, believe it or not, who was like always, I pictured like he was a big, he lived in St. Louis, went to all the Cardinal games and everything. And we were at like a family reunion thing a while back. And as high school age kids, which I think we were at the time, we were all talking about whatever sport was on television at the time. And he just like, oh, I don't follow sports. And I was like,
really?
I didn't even know a person could do that. And I don't know. But anyway, so like that's my goal, is to be able to just look at someone and say, I don't know who that is that you're talking about. Or like, what sport, huh? You know,
I think more meditation.
So, yeah, maybe I'll get there.
Yep. More meditation. I have been very interested in these answers because I wouldn't feel guilty about any of those. Not a single one.
Would you feel guilty about Golden Corral a little bit?
A little bit.
So, there you go.
You guys, I think we did it.
Did we do it?
I think we pulled it off. Pretty excited. I was going to say we need to cut it off because I have to go sponge bath my 12-year-old.
We have to cut it off because Tessie has to sponge bath my feet.
Nope, that's never happening. And I don't feel guilty about that.
You should. That's what a good wife
does. All right, you guys, let's end with our Mama Bear dares. So today we dare you to start really digging into your health, not in an obsessive kind of klipsch or compulsive way, but if something has been troubling you for a while, it's time to make yourself a priority. Maybe it's food. Maybe you use food as a way to self-medicate. You would not be alone with that. That's kind of a cultural thing. But maybe you use food to celebrate. Ice cream for A's, as an example. Again, you wouldn't be alone in that either. But today we dare you to just look deeper into what you're eating and why. We get one life and one body. We can either treat it with such respect or disregard. They take basically the same energy, right? So sometimes telling ourselves the same story is no longer healthy. Just because you've always been a meat eater or you've always used Velveeta cheese doesn't mean that's actually the best thing for you. Maybe it is, whatevs. Today we just dare you to examine it and dare to live the life you deserve. Healthy, full of love, joy, and compassion. So thanks, Mama Bears, for indulging us once again. Remember to join the conversation online by joining our community on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. If you could please, right now that the podcast is over, although probably stick around. I might have some bloopers at the end of this here. But if you could go right now and rate and review us on iTunes, that helps us reach more Mama Bears who can benefit from listening to our guests. So thank you guys so much. Have a fantastic week. We will be back with Leslie. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Am I allowed to say thank you right now, or is that supposed to be the end? All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Goodbye now.
Goodbye now. Let's
never
get in.
Heard of Harvard Medical School. Sorry. Is that like the University of the United States?
Yeah. The University of the United States?
Yes.
Can I introduce? Or
go
we good? We good, guys?
Just got a lot of things to get through and old Coming to America references.
Yeah, I know.
We're about that close to being gone right now because we're going to go down this. row that you get.
Exactly. We got to rein you guys in. Okay.
It's my 21st birthday. Coming to America. Sorry. All right, keep going, Tessie.